This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, Dee and Jay and Joa. We're talking about various different things. We started out with an update on the Footloose trial, which I've been following pretty closely here on Free Talk. Well, I kind of somewhat on the air, but definitely over at the Free Keen YouTube channel. We've been going to various different trials by this interesting guy who's he's not a free stater. He's a, I think he's a native, originally from Nashville, New Hampshire. And the state has been screwing with him for a long time. He spent some time in prison for a completely victimless crime. And I believe it was drug-related, if I recall correctly. We did a long interview with him back at the 2020 Porcupine Freedom Festival. And he's back in court this week, earlier today. Joe, you and I saw that. I want to continue with that story coming up here in a little bit. But we were also on the phone with a caller last hour who brought up the radio business and, you know, whether that has a future or not. And I know Rob in Vermont wants to weigh in on that. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I think that AM radio is going to continue on.
Really?
But it certainly has taken a different path. I mean, I remember when I first started listening to AM radio, I was listening to, like, E.G. Marshall and the Radio Mystery Theater and the Hardy Boys and the Nancy Drew Mysteries. I know that's, you know, old stuff, but... And then it went into, like, Paul Harvey and then other, you know, different programs. But those particular type of people had big followers, a lot of followers, because these were people that the public believed in and they trusted in everything. And now where I'm seeing it as it's not like that anymore. It's, you know, people are distrustful. They lie to your face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a proven point, just like what happened with Fox TV.
Well, let me go back to the point you originally made, which is that you think AM radio is going to continue on into the future. I mean, like I said, I like radio, but I'm just trying to be realistic here. And if somebody can convince me otherwise, I'm certainly open-minded to it. But it seems to me that that of the different bands on radio, FM and AM, that AM has the least likelihood to continue on into the future. We've seen AM stations shutting off entirely rather than even being sold. We've seen the prices of stations on both FM and AM going down. Right now, the radio business is trying to fight with the car manufacturers to stop cutting AM radio out of their cars that they're making. Because apparently, in these electric cars that are coming out now, there's issues with interference from the electric car's motor generating what you call RF, radio frequency interference. They generate this signal, essentially. The motor itself can do this. And if you have, you know, cars in the last few decades and you listen on AM, sometimes you can even hear gas motors. You can hear when you apply the gas, you can hear like a whoosh sound in the background.
You got to put a resistor RF filter on the wire going to the radio. And,
well, now that's probably worse with the electric cars, apparently. And I don't know all the details about what makes electric cars more likely to cause RF on AM, but it's an issue that's so bad that the car companies, like, yeah, we'll put a radio in, but it doesn't have AM. And it's an FM-only radio, which is, like, pretty wild for those of us that have been in the radio world for a long time. But that's what they're fighting with right now. Now the industry is like, arguing with GM or Ford over this.
I bought a cheap Amazon, you know, like, $19 radio, and it didn't have AM on it. It was just FM, but it took, like, a USB, Bluetooth, and and you know, some SD card you could put in it, and you know, the 3.5 auxiliary. Mm-hmm. But I put it in a tractor, and basically I just kind of wanted it for the Bluetooth, and you know, the whole it didn't have AM thing didn't really matter to me, and until I was trying to listen to something on AM with it, and I'm like, oh, this thing don't have AM, why not? And I looking through the Amazon, and it says nothing about AM, just FM.
Well, and that's an interesting design choice.
FM media receiver. They didn't call it a radio.
Wow, that's interesting. And it's an interesting design choice because it can't cost that much to put AM in that device, right? Like, it's got to be pennies to put a, you know, as far as manufacturers are concerned, these are old chips. They've been around forever. There's
a second radio in the radio, you know, so it's like a second, you know, and it works off a totally different, like, you know, sort of antenna type. So you need to have sort of a dual-purpose antenna for, like, your AM, FM.
Yeah, but those are cheap. I mean, we're talking about cheap equipment that they could easily put in there for a few cents, and they decided they were going to cut it out.
I worked on a $100,000 excavator this morning, and to change the alternator belt, you know, so most serpentine belts, they have a tensioner, or like the alternator, for example, pivots and then it slides back and forth, and there's like an oblong hole for the bolt to slide back and forth to tension the alternator. Not on this $100,000 excavator. Mm-hmm. You actually have to like put the belt on and then use like a big massive pry bar and all your might to tighten the alternator to get the bolt to line up. It only goes in one, like, and it's like, I was thinking, you know, we're going to break this belt. And they basically just wanted to save the, you know, couple minutes worth of machining time to machine out this bracket to make the alternator, you know, a variable, you know, distance so you could, like, properly tension the belt. And that's the way all those machines are now, the guys are telling me.
Well, in the case of the radio, it's just that companies decided that there just wasn't that much interest in AM. They figured they could just cut that out and they'd still be able to sell their product. Anyway, Rob, I got to say I'm skeptical about it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we need to have communication so we know what's going on. But,
yes,
you know, we still have, you know, the analog radios. I mean, I would recommend anyone have an analog radio. I got a unit in Washington, 40-channel base unit, you know, and I can talk around the whole world with this thing. And,
wait, you're talking about a two-way CB radio?
Yeah.
You know, I remember getting into CB, Citizens Band, for, you know, you young people out there that don't have any idea what this is. Maybe you've seen it in the movies where it's like Breaker 19 and it's truckers and all that. But I remember in the 1990s, I got into CB radio as a teenager, and even then, it was already unpopular. CB had its day back in the 1970s. There were even like movies that came out about Citizens Band radio. There was Convoy, as I understand. I've never actually seen the movie.
There was a whole culture behind Citizens Band radio.
It was huge. It was before the internet, there was Citizens Band radio. Right, people have always been looking for, you know, a way to have a conversation with people. They want to interact with other people, and Citizens Band Radio allowed people to do that instantaneously within their local area. And so it was kind of like, you know, almost like a party line. Anybody could jump in and talk about whatever. But by the time I got into the technology in the 1990s, which was like pretty much pre-internet, it was already not really happening. There was already hardly anyone out there. There were still some people using CB radio, but not very much. And I think that's another example of how people just migrate to different technologies over time. So I'm skeptical that AM's going to be able to make it as long as FM. I think FM's got a lot of a longer legs to it, I think, these days than AM does. And again, that's not me trying to, you know, be mean to any of our great radio stations that have us on AM, but a lot of them, I think, must have to be admitting this to themselves, because even in the industry, there's a move towards what they call FM translators. So AM stations that have been around for 50 or 100 years in some cases, many of them have been applying to the FCC and have been being granted these things that are called translators on FM. And what that means is that the AM station still exists, but they get themselves a signal on FM where the same content is there. It's just the FM sounds better, right? Most people would admit that when they compare FM and AM, the FM has a clearer sound to it. It's just it's a higher frequency response. It's just got a better overall sound. And so I think these AM stations, to some extent, are admitting that they know that's where the audience is. They know there's a significant portion of radio listeners. They just won't go to AM. They're not going to make the flip over for any reason whatsoever. It just doesn't even exist to those people, especially younger people.
And the audio on AM is definitely poor audio.
That's what I'm saying.
Compared to FM. Just in general.
So, hey, Rob, any other thoughts? Go ahead.
No, but one thing I do know for sure is, Free Talk Live is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And the reason why I believe that is that because there's people that really do care in the Liberty Movement about what's going on, and they're doing their best to be able to, turn out, newer and fresher ideas.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Rob. I definitely appreciate hearing from you tonight. Let's go to David. He's in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
So here's something that you might find funny. I am mid-20s or whatever, and I am a ham radio operator. I got my license, and I enjoy, very, very much enjoy AM radio.
You are also, I think it's worth mentioning, you're also a deaf person. Do you think that's a factor?
Blind, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, blind. Thank you.
I don't think that's a factor, actually.
Okay.
I just really enjoy the communication medium.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't realize is that FM is not good in the case of a disaster. What's going to be the first thing to go in a disaster? Your cell phone and your home internet. That's going to be the first things to go. The next things to go is going to be FM, and the reason being is, like, it can't get information from a long way away. Like, there was a tornado warning last year in my county here in Georgia, and I had no FM station playing the weather. I had to tune into an AM radio station in the middle of
FM's fault. That's the fault of radio consolidation. So, I mean, you don't have, in many cases in the business, you don't have people working at these stations. They're just skeleton crews.
I'll tell you why. I think it's all going to die. I think AM and FM's going to die. I'll tell you why. Quality. Nobody is getting a brand new car and be like, oh, I can't wait to hear radio. they're going to be like, I want that digital aux or Bluetooth,
yeah,
and hear these awesome beats with my brand new stereo system. No one is, unless you're like old school and that's all your car actually has. Is you don't have any extra hookup because you want your stock 56 Chevy, whatever. That's the only reason why you're going to keep it, and you would want it. But I digress.
To get this weather, I actually had to listen to a station from 90 miles away on AM to be able to hear the severe weather in my local area because none of the local FMs were playing it or had any discussions or whatever.
Yeah, that's sad.
Those local FM stations are probably owned by, let's say, iHeartMedia or Clear Channel, and they're being programmed by some guy, probably in New York City or, zooming to work from home, whatever, just some program director. And so everything's just pre-recorded,
absolutely,
pre-programmed.
Including the weather in many cases from, a day earlier or whatever, the same day, afternoon, you're listening in the middle of the night. There's no fresh updates on a lot of these stations.
So definitely, like, knowing your local-ish AM radio station that actually has, like, a live, feed, for example, is probably really good. Because one thing that is nice about AM is it can travel really, really far. And I can remember, I used to listen to all kinds of stuff on radio growing up, mostly AM radio. As a little kid riding around with my dad, we'd go cruising around buying and selling horses. And come nighttime, we could be in, Massachusetts, and you could catch AM, big talkers out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And,
sure.
Yeah,
they hit the skip.
1,000 miles away.
I love AM at night. It's so much fun.
Well, definitely an unusual. Wouldn't you say, though, David, you're pretty unusual as far as your generation is concerned when it comes to listening?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am completely unusual in that case.
Yeah, you probably don't have many friends in your age range who can relate to your hobby, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think the one of the better things to do with AM, and it won't happen, obviously, it would be to move AM up. because the problem with all this noise is because of power lines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher you go in frequency, the less that matters. So if you took AM and moved it from like 1 megahertz where it's at now to like 6 megahertz, it wouldn't affect the distance travel very much.
Yeah.
But it would significantly reduce the amount of noise.
Like you said, though, that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, never.
I think what's going to happen is with AM is that either one of two things. Either A, the little stations are all going to go out of business,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have like, the big stations out of New York and Chicago, the big 50,000 watt clear channel stations,
yep.
are just going to be the entire band. So you'll get like Chicago and Los Angeles and Denver and New York and Tennessee and whatever, like Nashville. You'll get the big stations, or you're going to get where all the stations are going to be taken off of AM and they're going to give it to like amateur radio operators. Cause our 160 meter amateur radio band is just right above AM because AM mm-hmm. stops at 1.7 megahertz. And our band starts at 1.8.
Yeah, you have to ask yourself, AM listeners are likely to be elderly, okay, as far as the demographics are concerned. And yep. it's just a matter of time. I'm sorry to say this, but those people are going to pass away. And there's just no reason to believe that anybody beyond Generation X has any possibility of creating the habit of listening to AM radio. Unless the only reason you would want to ever listen to AM radio is if there's a reason to be there, right? Now, getting the weather, okay, that's a good, you know, during a storm or some sort of serious weather issue, maybe one of the only places that you can go. But how are you going to do that if the radios you have don't even have the AM band on it? I mean, there's just so many things that are stacked against AM radio. It's going to be really tough, I think, for them to continue.
The crazy thing is that AM is the backbone of our emergency alert system because mm-hmm. the AM signals travel so far that the government requires FM stations to actually tune into the AM station
mm-hmm.
to get their emergency alerts. They have what they call primary entry point stations for mm-hmm. the emergency alert system, and they've like EMP proofed these stations with backup generators and all kinds of equipment to make sure that these things stay on in an emergency, because the local stations are likely to go down and these big stations are likely to stay up.
That's a great point, David. I don't know if it's going to be enough to keep the industry alive. It may mean that they'll be subsidized by the federal government for some amount of time, and so they may just sort of, again, be on life support as some of the newspapers are on today. But it'll be interesting to watch how all this develops, especially now that you've got artificial intelligence coming in to play, and people are now going to be just talking to themselves, essentially, with the development of these large language models and how all that's going to play out when it comes to broadcast radio. Who knows? Thanks for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to The Situation calling from Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, The Situation.
Yeah, I originally called in for a couple of shows you had on previously. The AM thing, the previous caller pretty much brought up everything about that. It's just more range, more reliable.
How old are you, The Situation?
Oh, 5'0" 5'3"
Okay. All right. So you're old enough to have a radio habit. You're old enough to even know what AM radio is. But how many millennials? If we did a survey of millennials and Gen Zs, and we asked them, when was the last time, if ever, you listened to AM radio? What do you think the responses would be?
I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Totally get it. It's kind of sad because super reliable, hard to jam, really hard to jam.
Mm-hmm.
FM has no power. They've digitized it, so when you do pick up the FM station, especially like satellite radio, I mean, I know that's not FM, but satellite radio is terrible. It sounds terrible, and it cuts in and out when you're in the hills and whatever. It's just a really bad deal. But, I understand AM's probably going to die. there's going to be a few of us out there trying to do our thing. And that's the thing, is it's going to be really hard for the government to keep track of all that. You know, we're not China. We don't have 6 billion people who can sit there and monitor every little avenue. So AM's a really good CB radio even. All that stuff is really, you know, you can jam CB radio, but it's hard to monitor all this stuff, frequencies and stuff. There's so many of them. There's billions of them.
So I'm not sure the point you're making about it's hard to monitor the frequencies. What are you trying to say there?
If you're looking for an alternative to your cell phone or what have you, a lot of these tech junkies don't even look at that older technology. So if you're trying to communicate off-grid,
If you're using like a two-way radio and it's off-band, like we were talking about with Jay, you mentioned the Baofeng two-way radios you can get on Amazon for $25 or whatever, and you program those things up. You can unlock those things with like a two-button press. The FCC made it so they threatened them, by the way. The FCC came after this Chinese brand of radios that was selling these completely unlocked radios that anybody could get for $25. You can still get the radio for $25, but it's locked out now. But there's like three buttons you have to hold down when you turn the radio on, and you can easily find how to do it. Huh?
If you find those, they're worth a lot of money. Anyway,
no, they're not. They're not worth a damn. They're not worth anything. They cost like $25. You can get them online for any time you want. You can get a 10-pack of them if you want.
Stock up on them.
Huh?
Stock up on them is what I'm saying.
I miss what you said.
Stock up on them.
Stock up. Yeah. Yeah.
Find a hat, you know, and mess that up. I called in previously about the church thing. The girls were on the other day about how the churches were pro government, and
a lot of churches are.
They, when the lockdown happened, the churches fought back. They were trying to stay open.
A minority, I would say, of churches did. It seemed like most churches rolled right over. They did what the government said. They locked down. They shut down. They closed completely. And there were a very small number of churches that actually continued.
Initially, like for the first 2 weeks, like everybody said, it was a two-week shutdown. And then several, I don't know, 100 churches were going, no, we have to worship, you know? And they're not.
I don't know, man. I didn't hear a lot about that. I mean, we had our ear to the ground, and to any churches that were staying open, good for them. There was one here in Keene that had a particular event that Aria and I actually both attended, and it was great. It was great. Glad that they did it, but they were a minority for sure. Maybe you live in an area there in Oregon where it was more common, but some of these guys were getting arrested, and they were scared. More coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court is expected to issue its ruling on access to a commonly used abortion pill tomorrow. The decision is set to come after the court extended a temporary stay on a Texas federal judge ruling to halt production and distribution of mifepristone. The drug was originally approved by the FDA 23 years ago and has been used by over 5 million women since. The White House is dismissing allegations the Justice Department is mishandling its investigation into Hunter Biden.
They should not be politicized, and they should be able to do their job independently.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, the president's son is currently under federal investigation for potential tax crimes and charges he lied on a firearm purchase form. New reports say manslaughter charges against Alec Baldwin related to the onset death while filming the movie Rust have been dropped. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. Our number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Jay.
And Joe.
We've got plenty of things to talk about here tonight, but actually the phone's been relatively busy, so of course we take your calls before we do pretty much anything else. But on the way here, if we get the chance, I do want to hear about Joe's experience trying to simply file a complaint at City Hall. So it should be a pretty straightforward thing to do, but you hold a video camera whenever you do anything, and that tends to really upset government bureaucrats. So we're going to find out what happened to you coming up here in a little bit. The number is 603-283-6160. Somebody called in about radio, and of course that has set off this sort of generational divide where on one hand, Joe is like ready to fall asleep over here as far as his interest in
pretty much
in broadcast radio. On the other hand, we got all these old guys listening to the show on the radio that want to talk about, you know, oh, back in the day I listened to this and that, and you know, they grew up with this habit that Joa and people younger than you, what are you, like early 30s at this point? you seem young.
Almost 39.
Are you really? Wow, okay. So you're closer to me then, and Jay. Well, we grew up with a radio habit, but you've gotten out of the habit, right?
I don't turn on the radio.
Yeah. And you know, people younger than you, I mean, they never even started.
Yeah.
Right? And I've got a 186-page study here that...
Like a printed version of this? Not a Kindled version? I'm just kidding.
No, not a printed version. But and I've not had a chance to look at this, but just briefly here, I'm on like page 11 or 20 of this, and it's talking about millennials. It says, with the exception of news, young people are parting with AM, FM radio. If the listening habits of these young people continue in this direction, and this came out in 2015, so almost, you know, not quite a decade ago, but close. If the listening habits continue in this direction, programmers will have to change the way they program radio. Without a change in programming, radio may lose the ability to attract advertisers and therefore generate funds, thus affecting its long-term future. And
well, Ian, if they keep playing Third Eye Blind Jumper, they're going to lose all their listeners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, radio on the music side has an even tougher time than talk radio, if you think about it, right? Because like you were saying earlier, Jay, your kid wants to listen to Jingle Bells when they want to listen to Jingle Bells. And that's true for adults these days, too. Like, if they want to listen to Jumper or whatever, Tina Turner or whatever, you know, they're thinking of, they can just call it up on their Amazon box or their Spotify or whatever system. It's like, how many people really want to listen to what some program director has decided that they want to listen to?
Well, you could use your rotary phone, call the radio station, do requests.
And do a request, yeah.
Yeah, if someone's there to pick up the phone.
Because that always worked back in the day. I can tell you, when I was in rock radio as a disc jockey, the old line was, yeah, we'll try to get that on for you. Anybody that called and requested something, that was the line. Yeah, we'll try to get that on for
you. If it happens to be on the rotation, you're like, this is a request from.
Yeah.
I can remember calling a country radio station trying to get a song played. And they're like... Oh, you know, we get a lot of calls for that song, but we actually can't play that particular song.
Wow, they were honest with
because
you.
Because it's not in the top, you know, whatever.
Wow.
And we're only playing, you know, songs in the top, I don't remember, it wasn't top 40, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then I just, from then on, I just noticed that pretty much that station played the same songs
same stuff.
Every day.
Yeah, they probably only had a couple hundred songs.
And I was a young teenager at the time.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Neil, he's in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, not only was it the same songs every day, they came on exactly the same time every day.
Well, that's
now.
Really lazy.
Monotonous, too.
But I grew up in the 60s in Bellflower, California, listening to, on AM radio, Wolfman Jack blasting out of Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay.
I mean, that guy was all over the place. And as far as during the daytime, and you're talking about taking requests, I would listen to Robert W. Morgan and the Real Don Steele on 93KHJ LA, and they would answer the phones and they would play what you asked for. But I called to talk about CB radios during the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I was way into that.
Mm-hmm. What was your handle?
Kahuna.
Okay.
I was a space cowboy.
I was broadcasting out of Bellflower, California on a little 15,000-watt station and running a Cobra 2000 with
Hold
a gold
plated 15,000 watts on CB, so you were running illegal equipment.
Oh, I was running way illegal.
How far away were you able to talk to people with 15,000 watts? For listeners that don't know, I believe 4 watts is the maximum on CB radio.
5.
Legally. Is it 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
5. Yeah, 5 watts. And anyway, I had this totally tweaked up Cobra 2000 where I had a switch on the back and I could be on Channel 5 broadcasting on AM,
mm-hmm.
and I could switch over and broadcast FM on Channel 5.
Whoa.
And unless somebody had the FM board in the radio where
they
wouldn't
could switch
hear it. Over, they couldn't understand. Well, they could hear me, but they couldn't understand a damn word I was saying.
Okay.
Now, FM wasn't sideband, right?
No, that's different.
No, you got upper and lower sideband. That was also on the Cobra 2000. But FM was as frequency modulation as opposed to amplified modulation
right.
for AM.
How far did you get? I mean, who was the furthest away person that you ever talked to with 15,000 watts out of, where was it, California?
Bellflower, California. Yeah. Santiago, Chile.
Chile. Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow.
Yep.
Yep.
And when Skip is in, you can do it with 5 watts. You don't need 15,000 watts when Skip is in. I mean, I was running a 1,000-watt linear out of my my pickup truck with Coface 102-inch stainless steel webs driving down the Hollywood freeway talking to people, you know, in other countries out of my pickup truck.
But this was in the 1970s you're talking about.
60s and 70s, into the early 80s.
And when did it start to die out? When did CB radio really just start to go away?
It died out for me overnight when I woke up to go to work at 1 o'clock in the morning. My girlfriend informed me that the FCC had knocked on my door at 10:30.
Oh man!
And she declined to let them in, and wake me up. So I called in to work sick, and by noon the next day I had sold my whole station.
Wow!
It was gone. Because I was looking at a hell of a big fine. I mean, 3 blocks away, every time I talked on my radio, they could hear me through the drive-up speakers inside the McDonald's.
Oh, that's a good story, Neil. Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that should about cover it, except I want to send a shout-out to my friend Chuck up there in Longview, Washington.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Have you guys ever seen those pranks where somebody takes... a trend, they have like a radio that can operate on a large
yes.
Amount of bands, yeah, spectrum, and they'll like hide behind a bush or somewhere nearby one of these drive-through windows, and they find the frequency where the drive-through is operating, and they'll just like start talking to the customers that come
up.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get away with that these days. I don't know how many drive-throughs still have radio transmissions back
right,
and forth.
Like hardwired.
They're probably hardwired because those became an issue.
So actually, if you just have a speaker wired up and not hooked on anything, you just have like 20 foot of wire, and you key up a CB radio pretty close by,
you could still blast
it
in.
It'll actually come through the speaker, so the car can be off. Mm-hmm. And people sitting in a car, and you can key up your... So I was really into CB radios in my 20s. Every truck had one with a linear. I got a couple hundred watt linear, and I would tune them and peak them and do all this stuff. And definitely people would be like, oh, yeah, I heard you talking on my, you know, through the speakers. You know,
in my house.
I knew that was you.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody... Yeah, because... and, you know, every now and then you would... You know, being like a truck stop sleeping, you know, because I used to be in truck stops all the time, and I would have to, like, turn the radio on just to bleed out the guys talking to each other on CBs, because there was no way you could shut it off unless you were going to just, like, disconnect your speakers or something.
Oh.
It would just, you know,
just because
right
of the power, the RF power is coming in.
Well, just because that the wire is going from your headset to your radio or an antenna, and it's just picking up the modulation,
right?
And the speaker's doing its job.
The number is 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Sam. He's in Ohio. Sam, you're on Free Talk Live.
I kind of find it interesting that at this point we basically have a protest holiday and wanted to comment on it.
You're talking about 420?
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy 420. We didn't even mention that at the start of the show. It was where I was going to go if we got through the Footloose story, because we did have the 420 did happen in Concord, New Hampshire today. Joey, you were there.
Yep.
I was there to report on that and also what was going on inside the State House, which was a series of hearings here in New Hampshire in the Senate committee, which was to potentially legalize cannabis. So it was actually a busy day today in Concord.
We were wondering when we drove by the State House on our way home from the library in Concord, what was going on over there. And there were some signs that we couldn't read them, and we needed to get the kids dinner, and I needed to get here, so we didn't hang out. But
indeed. So what about it, Sam?
I just think it's kind of interesting that as much as the government hates it, we've been saying the population as a whole finally got it to where they recognize they can't ban that plant, at least for much longer.
How's it going there in Ohio on that front?
You got medical, and then you got Delta 8 THC.
Okay. All right. So you guys don't have even decrim yet on possession of cannabis?
We have decrim for under 3 ounces.
Okay. What does that get you if you get caught with an ounce of weed?
$100 to $200 ticket.
All right. That's not terrible. It's better than a misdemeanor, I guess. So you guys have had some progress there in Ohio, it sounds like. Good deal. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I went to Ohio once and smoked some weed.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you ever go back?
No.
Just once. Once was enough.
But I don't want to say it on the air, like, whose house I was in.
I'm going to guess Ademo Freeman.
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, you can keep guessing.
Okay. No, I'll
confirm it if you guess it right.
Do it off the air. All right. Well, hey, Sam, anything else?
Just hopefully maybe this holiday will spark the magic mushroom people to get around to doing it.
Yeah, that would be great. I know that they've got it in some cities out there. Denver's one of them, Santa Cruz, California. There's actually a couple Massachusetts cities that have decriminalized mushrooms. And Ann Arbor, I believe, as well. But I don't know if it's been done on a state. Oh, it was Oregon. Oregon has therapeutic mushrooms, I believe.
Yes.
I believe they voted on that. Yeah. Was it last year or 2020? One or the other.
I think it just started yesterday, I think it was.
Okay.
I know of a lot of people who have had major positive benefits from doing basically guided mushroom trips to like get them through like anxiety, depression. A host of things.
You can kill alcoholism with that too.
Sure. Alcohol. I know one guy, he was, had an issue with heroin. And it was basically a guided meditation, medicinal mushroom thing. It wasn't worded like that, but I don't remember. And then also, I know of, some couples, that have done basically guided mushroom couples therapy I don't know if it was mushrooms or some kind of like, thing like that. And they're like, you know, just so happy they did it and they're like getting along good and everything's well. And, you know, they're like on the verge of divorce. And I've actually recommended it to a whole bunch of couples who are struggling and they're like, they're older, they're in like their 50s or 60s and they're like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm like, yeah, you should really look into it. It might help.
The way I look at it is it's like this revelation in your life. And that's what some people need. Just that a revelation, something that's a total experience beyond anything they ever had, and that would be like, wow, there's something worthy of living for. Like that's all it is. It's like, you know, help a lot of
ketamine does that for some people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Sam, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The studies that they've been doing on mushrooms have been pretty interesting. I mean, obviously, there's plenty of individual case studies, individual people who've had amazing experiences and, you know, completely curing things like PTSD.
Yep, that's a big thing.
And in a lot of cases, the people they do the studies on are people who have tried like all of the mainstream quote unquote treatments. And that crap's not working for them. And so they try this mushroom trip and it's like problem solved in a lot of cases. Not everybody, but in a lot of cases, they don't even need to go back for a second trip. It's like they get their S straight, whatever was messed up in their head, they're able to deal with the root cause of it, right? Because, you know, depression for a lot of people, it's coming from something. You probably weren't born that way. I don't buy this claim that it's a chemical. A lot of them like to say, oh, it's a chemical imbalance. I'll always have this problem. When the fact is, a lot of people can have depression cured from a sugar pill. Placebo effect can cure depression.
Yeah.
And so a mushroom trip certainly has the potential to do things like that.
Actually, there's a lot of studies, especially with depression in men, is all they got to do is stop watching porno and their depression goes away.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of study on that.
Let's continue. Major Payne's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major Payne.
Hey, guys. I got a couple of news notes for you, too, but I got an interesting thing on radio signals.
Sure.
This was probably... 25, 30 years ago, I was doing garage door repairs. And there was this guy out by Metro Airport, and about 2-3 times a week, he'd come home from work, and his freaking garage door would be open.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on is there was a particular flight that would come in, like 238, 335, whatever, and his when he keyed up to the tower, his radio signal hit the same frequency as this dude's garage door opener.
Damn, yeah.
So all I had to do was take off the panel and switch a couple numbers on the code, and he was good to go. But, yeah, that was pretty damn strange. Took a minute to figure out, too.
Dip switches, right?
Dip switches?
Dip switches? Is that when you change the code on the chip, you these little switches, you flip up and down, they call them dip switches?
Yeah, they're on electronics, PC ports.
I did not know they called them dip switches. I thought you were just being cute.
No, that's what they're called. I don't know what dip stands for. Probably, you know, it's probably an acronym for something, but, yeah. All right. Major, what else?
Well, anyway, there's this French girl in this woman in France. She's like 50 years old. Evidently, she's some kind of a endurance athlete, you know, rock climber and all that kind of stuff. So she goes into this cave for 500 days. It's like over 300 feet, you know, back in or deep or whatever.
Whoa.
And part of it, I don't really understand the whole concept, but evidently scientists wanted to study how people would deal with living underground.
Hold up. So, yeah, when did this happen?
She just popped her gopher head out on the 14th.
Is she eating bats down there? Like, what is it? How are you going to go down there for 500 days?
They were bringing her food stuffs and whatnot daily, and she had, like, some kind of a video cam set up where she would give them reports on, you know, how she was feeling and what she was doing every day. But she had absolutely no human contact for about a year and a half.
And?
And, evidently, there was no cave-sitting record before that. I guess the longest anybody'd spent in a cave was about like 14, 15 years ago. There was an Argentinian mine cave-in, and they were in there for like 69 days.
So this lady was there for 500. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope they had a radio.
500 days. Yeah.
500 days.
I don't think you'd have got much signal. That deep down the hole.
Presumably she was in the dark a lot of the time. Did she have light devices, you know, anything to do down there or what?
If they had a power source down there, I mean, she had the cameras and whatnot, so they obviously had run wires of some sort down there.
Mm.
But anyway, the other one was SpaceX. Have you heard what happened today on them?
No.
What did they call it? An unscheduled disassembly.
Oh, I did hear about this. I didn't know when it happened, but yeah, basically it was an explosion, right?
The rocket blew up like 3 minutes into flight.
Was that the main rocket, or was it the rocket propulsion system?
Well, there was a set of afterburners that were supposed to drop off, and they noticed that some of the engines were malfunctioning, and as soon as this thing tried to disengage, the primary rocket went into a squirrel and just blew up.
Wow. But,
you mean the payload? You mean the heavy load?
Probably the payload, I guess they would call it.
So the top portion of the rocket, you're saying? The heavy load. They call it the heavy load.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen any video on it or anything.
Well, I did watch it live.
No. Oh, wow.
I watched it live, and I actually think all of it was very much orchestrated purposely for training, the delay, malfunction, they called it. I think they purposely did this for a worst-case scenario. They tested this and to make sure that all the fail-safes were working properly.
Well, in an interview, Musk said that the guy asked him what he thought the chances of success were, and Musk says 50-50.
Hmm.
So evidently this was definitely a test flight to see what would go wrong, what wouldn't. I guess they were using a lot of stainless steel on this thing, which is heavier than what they usually try to use in rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I ain't no damn rocket scientist, but there you go, and here we are.
Well, the heavy load was sort of a mock rocket payload. So they didn't use a real working payload rocket, a passenger rocket. What they used was a mocked-up version of it that was a lot heavier than an actual payload. So they were testing.
Well, he was talking about using the ship eventually to take, you know, tourists into space.
Yes, but not that one. that one.
Yeah, they have to do a lot of testing before that. That's going to happen.
Yeah, but are you speculating that this excess load was to simulate the passenger weight?
More than the passenger weight. More than what a normal load would be. They were testing what the limits were.
Maybe stress testing.
Right.
Exactly. Where did they shoot off from? Cape Canaveral or somewhere else?
Texas.
They landed in the Gulf of Mexico, so I'm thinking it was probably...
Could be Texas.
I don't know.
It was Texas.
Could have been the one.
It's in Star City.
Okay. All right. And it's very interesting. Major, thank you for sharing that with us here tonight. The good news about this is we didn't have to pay a dime for it.
Exactly.
You know, however many billions or millions, I don't know what these things cost, right? Probably hundreds of, you know, dozens of millions or whatever, dollars for these things. It's Elon Musk and the SpaceX entrepreneurs, the ones that are funding this,
correct,
that are on the hook for any kind of explosions like this. So we didn't have to pay for it, at least.
Yeah.
If you want to comment here, the number is 603-283-6160. So earlier today, Joey, you and I, we were at the Concord Court once again for week number four, which hasn't been 4 weeks in a row.
Just
it's
four
been
days.
Like 2 months that this has been going on now. Or yeah, day number four, I guess, way to put it. Day number four of Footloose's trial.
Is this a jury trial?
No.
No.
Okay. No, he can't get a jury because it's a what they call a Class B misdemeanor here in New Hampshire, and you're not allowed to have a jury on that because there's quote-unquote no jail time for a Class B misdemeanor. Of course, if you don't pay the fine, then they'll throw you in jail for that. But they say that doesn't count. And anyways, Footloose is accused of essentially talking,
clapping
during a governor's executive council meeting,
clapping and saying yeah.
And in the course of these 4 days that he's been on trial, I have not posted the video yet. I will have the full video when it's all done, but I think he's been posting them on his Absolute Defiance channel.
I'm rendering. That's why I was on my phone.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so there have been videos posted in various different places. I guess.
I have first 3 days on my channel.
Breaking the Flaw.
Yes.
As has them right now.
Boy, I would imagine that any rape victim in New Hampshire where the rapist hasn't been caught, or anybody who's been mugged, or anybody that's been robbed or had their car broken into, would have to be extremely irritated over all of the law enforcement
the resources?
Judicial resources going into going after, you know, guys like Footloose.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I was saying at the very beginning of the show, there were something like 70 state police officers at this executive council meeting where he was arrested. He and 8 other people, by the way. They call them the New Hampshire Nine, all of whom were completely, nonviolent individuals, many of whom were just simply upset at Footloose and another lady named Therese being arrested. So they got arrested for basically nothing. And that's what we've been learning watching the trial, is Footloose was playing video today from various different angles in this particular meeting to show that at no point was he causing any kind of disruption to this meeting.
Right.
And in fact, there were some, voices in the video. Some people would say things from time to time during the meeting, but none of those people were arrested, and none of those people were Footloose. So, the state doesn't even really seem to have a leg to stand on here. They're accusing him of yelling, "Shut it down," which at no point before his arrest did he yell. He did yell it when he was being put in handcuffs.
Right.
He was yelling quite a bit at that point because he was wrongfully being arrested. He
but
had
the narrative
not
the state has is that he said it before he was getting arrested, and that's why he got arrested.
With no evidence.
Right.
They have their guys testify, but the actual video doesn't contain him yelling anything about
up.
Shut it down. Yeah, they wanted to arrest him from before when the meeting started.
They always want to arrest him.
Yeah. And so we'll continue here in moments. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want here. Hour number 3 is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.